And then this famous pastor say, it is the contact point of the Holy Spirit.
Well, I greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, this hour of our day. Great honor and a privilege for me to share the Word of God to us. I would like to invite you to turn together with me to Psalm 139. I believe we all got it. Let us just pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord, and for who you are. Thank you that we can come together and tuned in, and I pray really that we tuned in to hear the voice of God speaking to us. It's like Johan Haynes say that it needs a human ear to hear God's voice speaking through human lips. And I pray that that will be really so at this hour of the day. Pray that you will help us shut off all the things that happens during this day, Lord, that there will be no distractions and that your word will stand central in our service at this hour. I think of Deuteronomy 32 verse 2, Lord, where it say, let my teaching fall like rain and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. May our preaching tonight be like that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 139, as you know that in these days we're talking to each other about the heart. Our heart. If I listen this whole month so far in each preacher that come and share the word of God, it looks like God wants to say to us something about our hearts. So I'm going to, let's read Psalm 139, and then I will just in a nutshell try to recap what has been said the other night. As from verse 1 in Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me in, or hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. For they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. And then I want to stand still, especially verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Just those few verses, I really pray and trust that God will speak to our hearts and bless the reading of His Word. I just want to recap, like I said before, to bring it together as well, what I want to say this evening to us. As you can remember, last time we speak something about 2 Chronicles chapter 16. One of that beautiful verses, like everybody have, you know, their favorite verses. And I've got one too. And it speaks to my own heart, where it say here in verse 9 of 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong and on behalf of those whose hearts is loyal to him. And as you can remember, we talk about, you know, hindrances in our hearing of God's voice, that there is a lot of them. And we said to each other that one of those is because of our hearts. Our heart is not loyal to God, or like some of the translations say, devoted to him, sold out to him, surrendered to him. And that is what the problem is. People say, I want to hear the word of God or the voice of God, but because of the hearts are not there. The hearts are all over the place except to hear God's voice. And as you can remember, and I asked a question, and a lot of questions that evening, and that I ask it for myself as well. And I speak about, you know, especially our long-timers here. And I ask the question that, are our hearts still fragile and soft and tender for the Spirit of God to work with our lives? Or is it hard? It became hardened. And I said, the problem is and the danger is that night after night we can come and we sit here and we can go to church Sunday after Sunday out there, and we receive and receive and we do nothing about the Word of God. We do not apply it. We just get fatter and fatter and harder and harder, because there's no application to the Word of God. And I ask that question, are we still fragile, soft, sensitive for the work of the Spirit of God in my life? I also mentioned a few times that I love when the old messages come back to life again, when the pastors preach old messages again that we heard over and over, and they use that many, many examples, because sometimes we do forget. And every time when they bring it, you know, it is from a different angle. Or is the attitude that, I heard that message. Again, the nail. Again, Luke 18. Again, this. Again, you know, I heard it. I can just go out. That's already a sign of a hardened heart. That is already a sign where I need to come and ask God and invite him like David. Lord, come and search my heart. That's why so many can't hear the word of God, because of the attitude of the heart. I didn't come prepared. And I didn't ask the question last time. And the question was, when you came to the service, did you come prepared? That's a good question, isn't it? We talk about expectations, and we said many times in the past that as a congregation member, I expect my pastor to do his utmost best in expository preaching and ask God and search for the truth and lead us into truth and guide us higher up into the mountain with a relationship with God. That is what many people expect their pastors to do. But likewise, there's also the expectation that the member comes with an expectation as well, that they come with a hearing ear, with a humble heart to come and receive, where they come and say, Lord, search my heart tonight, or this morning, or whenever I tuned in. Oh, it's Pastor so-and-so again behind the pulpit, you know, I wish I didn't come. And I said the other day, and maybe I burst some bubbles outside there, you know, some people are people pleasers. Some run only after certain pastors, especially if it is, you know, these big churches. And I know what I'm talking about. I came from a church where we was 13 pastors. And it's not all of them that preach, only a certain elected by the senior pastor and the elder, the board of elders. But if that particular pastor is not there, then you will find half of the people is not there. Because we run after the pastor instead to come to run after God. Because it is not the pastor or the preacher. It's about God. We're coming back to the heart of worship. What does that song say? Where it is all about me. Is that what it say? No, where it is all about you. Doesn't matter who stands here. It's just candlelights that stand here. So I want to come again, 3 points that I want to lay before us here in this whole chapter. And I stand still with verse 23, because we want to hear God's voice. We want to be changed by Him in our inner being. And tonight I want to give the theme for my message, an offering of my heart to God. I offer my heart to you. And I asked last time, why my heart? And we will come there again this hour of the day. Why my heart? And maybe this is too graphic to explain, or not to explain, to give an example. I saw a long time ago, a DVD of a famous pastor in Nigeria. And I saw, and I couldn't believe what I saw. I saw people in the congregation, in that particular church of that pastor in Nigeria, when women, especially women, and some of the men, they vomit into that, in that church. They urinate blood in that church. Sorry for being so graphic. And then this famous pastor say, it is the contact point of the Holy Spirit. And I thought all the time it was my heart. I thought it was my heart. And he say, it's the contact point of the Spirit of God. And I don't believe that. I believe their work, another spirit is working there. It's not the Holy Spirit. Because his contact point is my inner being. That's why the first point, David gave an invitation, a direct invitation to God to search his heart. The contact point, the seat where all the life comes from. There where God can work into the heart. And that principles that we heard the other night is things that give us life. And it transforms us into His image. Because from inside here comes out here. Whatever is in there comes out here by the mouth. And he give God that principle or that invitation, even in verse 1, not just in verse 23. Say, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know my heart. You know the condition of my heart. You know my attitude. Everything comes from here. From my heart,
Search. What does the word search mean? Well, Webster say to look over or through for the purpose of finding something, to explore, to examine by inspection. Lord, find something there. Shine your light into my life. Every aspect of my life. Not compartmentalize my life. Everything, Lord, everything as a package. Examine it by inspection. And I said the other day that one of the characteristics of God is that He does search our hearts. We might think that we can get away with many things. Not with God. How's our hearts at this hour of the day? How's our hearts? You know, there's another word, a word that Webster say also to search very closely, and that is to the word scrutinize. Wow. It say to scrutinizing his heart, it means he's in such a degree that I will not live under self-deception or live with false hope and self-distrust. If I don't, you know, live in a life of illusion and deceive myself. Find something, Lord. Look if there's something that I don't know that is in my heart. That's why I said many times, we don't know what is in our hearts until something happened. And something must happen a particular way or a particular instance, then we know what is inside there. And then it will stir it, and you know, and I will get warm under this, you know, ons wordt warm onder die kraag. Then it comes out. Because it needs that particular circumstance or environment or maybe that particular person to provoke something that I didn't know that was in my heart. And God searched with His light. God finds something. He knows what is there. He knows. It's just us we don't know. And He has to show me. He has to show me. Because what? David said, Lord, I want to offer to You my life. My heart. I want to offer it. I give You the invitation, Lord, to put me to the test. See if there's some evil ways, things in my life that is crooked, bended, not hiding it. Let it come to light. Can you remember Psalm 15? When David asked the question and he answered it. I think not so long ago, some of the guys said, I became thinking like an Indian. You know, I asked a question and I answer it. He said, Lord, who may have a relationship with You? Who may abide with You? Who may dwell with You on Your holy mountain? And the very first thing that God said is He who speaks the truth in His heart. The very first thing, God loves and values truthfulness very high. Because He is the way and the truth and the life. And if we want to walk with Him, we have to walk in the light as He's in the light. You know, Amos 3 verse 3 say, how can two walk together unless they both agree? So first there must be an agreement. Together, I want to walk with You. I want to be Your friend. I want to be in a friendship relationship with You. Then the second thing, there must be at least a desire to walk with You. And then the third thing is to leave behind what will contaminate this relationship. And if I am a person that like to speak lies, I cannot walk with God. If I want to jiga jiga, you know, I cannot walk with God. And I need Him to come in my life and take out and burn it out in my life. Listen to 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 9. He say, and you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve Him with wholehearted devotion. With everything. Wholehearted. I'm loyal, devoted, surrendered, and with a willing mind. Not with willfulness, gladness,
Lord, you don't have to force me. Lord, your wish is my command. Can you remember what I said the other day when David wished for a cup of water in the wells, that one well in Bethlehem? And these three men of valor goes and he go and fetch for him that water. And then he poured it out before the Lord and said, how can I drink this? These men, as you know, they will give up their lives for me. His wish is my command, a type of Christ. God don't have to give us a command. You know, his wish is my command. Willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. Just what goes on in our thoughts, he knows the motive. That's why Paul said, don't judge each other, because we don't know the motive of your heart and you don't know the motive of mine, but God knows that motive, and one day he will bring that motive to light, because he's a rightful judge. And then he say, if you seek him, listen to this, and especially our new guys who's here, who come to say, I need God, I want to seek him. Listen to what he say. If you seek him, you will be found by him. If you forsake him, he will reject you forever. He will be found by you. Why? If you seek him with your whole heart. I think that's why many can't hear his voice, because we still live in the past and we still have conversations of the ugly stuff in our lives. And our lives still stay the same. Why is it like that? It's not so long ago I said, nearly every time when I have new counselors, it's not long, then they sit in the counseling room and they complain of the guys, their conversations with one another because of their past. And that's all that, nap, is about their past. Instead of building each up and talk about a future that God is busy changing us, they're dwelling on the past. Why? One said he feels so discouraged because it is all what some of the guys talking in the dorm is like that. Wow. And I thought the bar was raised. Sure. Psalm 11 verse 4 to 5. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the son of men. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. These verses say, God, we can't bluff God. We can't. Here's an awesome verse in Jeremiah 17 verse 9 to 10. Just like the others, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. We are born with those hearts. Deceitful heart. And he say here, who can understand that heart? And then God said, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. And maybe I can say, Lord, I don't understand my heart. Why am I doing what I'm doing? God said, I understand it. Chris, is your motives pure? Is what you want to do, and I said it the other day, your motive is what you want to do. Is it for my glorification or is it for your glory? Is it, Chris, that you can shine? Well, you do this wonderful things and you do this and you do that, or is it for me? You know, one of my friends preached this during this week, especially the first series that he preached, and he said the colored people have a nice way of talk, isn't it, that you hear some of them how they talk in Afrikaans, the ek, you know, they say ek, they say the ek moet vrek. He said the I must die. He said, but the I is not dead, it's still alive. Instead of Christ living through you and that you bow down to his lordship and to his sovereignty and to his laws and conform to that willingly, we are stiff-necked, but we think we can get away with that. He said, no, God said, It is deceitful. He who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit. And that is what Romans 8:27 say. He searches your heart. And he know, and he searches God's heart, and he know the holiness and the righteousness and the perfectness and the justness of God. And when he look at my heart, I need that. I need that quality of heart, that quality that God wants to impart into me and live and walk. That way, as he is in the light. It's not so long ago in this week we talk about what? Exemplary. The high standard of someone, not just for leaders, but for every child of God. The high standard that God has placed there for each one to be an example, just like our Master. It's high. Damien said it yesterday too, the same verse that came during this whole week. That we have to live that good life among pagans. That when they blaspheme us or they accuse us for being wrong, that God will be glorified. God wants to say something to us. You know, we say many times to each other, if a word comes twice or thrice forth in the Bible, in that portion, God wants to hammer something into our hearts. To pay attention. What are you saying, Lord? I want you to pay attention at your heart.